Welcome everybody to Nightly Shiur. Welcome to ShiurEnjoyment.com. Tonight's Shiur is going to be a recap of Parshas Vayechanan. Just bear with me one moment. The Shiur is being dedicated to Refuah Shlema to Art Rousseau. His name is Avram Ben Bluma, and as well as Kevin Ben Daniel. We hope that they have a Refuah Shlema, as well as Refuah Shlema to Moshe Zelig Ben Rachel Devorah. Everyone should have a Refuah Shlema for Manash. And showing you a historic question. So Parshas Vayechanan is so unique. I wanted to just open up with a little bit of, if I may, a quick joke. There was this missionary priest who goes out to the South African forest, to the sub-Saharan desert, and he's there proselytizing the local community there. And so one day he decides to go out and enjoy the Serengeti, and he goes on a sightseeing tour, and in the distance he sees a lion. And he gets very nervous because the lion locked eyes with him. So he gets down on his knees and starts to pray to God. And then, after he's done praying, he opens up his eyes and he sees, to his surprise, that the lion is sitting calmly next to him. And he turns to heaven and he says, "Dear God, thank you." And the lion says, with a big roar, "Quiet, I'm about to say my grace." So That's the joke for this week. The idea is that not all prayers get answered, but some do. Obviously, in this story, the lion's prayer got answered. And in this week's parsha, we find that Moshe's tefillah was not answered, but yet he davened. He davened passionately 515 times in order to get into Eretz Yisrael, something that we can easily do, just by clicking a few buttons. We can book a ticket to Eretz Yisrael, and we can go whenever we wish. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who wished to go so much, wasn't able to do so. And the question is, why? And the question is, what's the significance of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillos, and what would have happened if he would have said another tefillah? What would have happened in that case? So we know that a tzaddik goes out of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Mekayim, that when a tzaddik wants something, he can will it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be forced to follow him, because Mi Moshe Bi, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who governs over me? Beis Yisrael, right? Because Mi Moshe Bi, B is Rosh HaTevos, Beis Yisrael. Who governs over me, the Beis Yisrael? Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is the one who is Moshe Bi Yiras Elokim. He governs through his allegiance of fear of God. And so the Tzaddik has certain kochos. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly had all the kochos. However, there's a time for transition. And Chazal say in Baba Basra on Daf Ayin, Hey Amud Aleph on 75a, that Moshe Rabbeinu was compared to the sun and Yeshua was compared to the moon. And we know that life is, it's necessary for us to have some sort of balance in our life. And so it was time for the transition to occur. And what precipitated the transition? So Rabbi Norman Lam explained a long time ago that when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, he demonstrated that he was no longer able to use his kochos, which is through the peh, in order to save Klal Yisrael, to help Klal Yisrael. Because Bamidbar, as the Kedushas Levi explains, is Bamidaber, what comes out of the mouth. And so what comes out of the mouth, what comes out of Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth, and then, of course, there were many examples of things that came out of people's mouths, beginning with the Meraglim, and then we have Korach, and then we have the Bilam and the donkey and Balak, and then we have Miriam, and we have, people there all throughout Sefer Bamidbar. We have episodes of how the mouth is, and of course, Bnei Slavchat speaking up on their territorial claims, ancestral lands. There's countless examples that are replete throughout Sefer Bamidbar of where we use our mouth to be the most powerful weapon, that the peh is indeed the most powerful weapon that a person has. HaKoach, HaChayim V'HaMavet, V'yad HaLashon. The life and death hang in the balance of what comes out of a person's mouth. So we see that's why they say that it's best for a person to sometimes be quiet, because when a person is quiet, he's like, so to speak, like a malach, and he only says nice things when he's supposed to say them, and hopefully those things are received on high. So in this case, we see that Moshe's koach was his dibor. But now there was going to come the time when the Jewish people were going to have to be kovesh, physically conquer the land of Israel. And that could only be done through Yehoshua, who was the generation of Asiyah, of action. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to help the Jewish people defeat Amalek simply through his words. And he's saving Klal Yisrael by the Chet HaEgel, but by the Mahama with Amalek, for example, Bayiki Gavar Yadav, like when Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands, the Gavar Yisrael, then the Jewish people were successful. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu lowered his hands, the Jewish people were unsuccessful in battle. And then, of course, the Medrash brings them to Chiyadav Shamosha Asa Mahama, are the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu creating war? What are they effectuating? Nothing. They're just lifting and lowering. But the answer is that he caused the people to daven, and to daven and believe in themselves. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were raised, then the people looked up to Shemayim, and that's when they davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Shemaya and for help in defeating their enemy. But when his hands were lowered, it was symbolic of the Jewish people looking down to the earth and feeling a sense of despair and not seeing the Yad Hashem in everything that we do. And that's when they, unfortunately, were unsuccessful. So the secret ingredient, obviously, that Moshe Rabbeinu possessed was the Koach HaTfilah. It was a Koach HaTfilah that he enabled other people to see the strength and confidence in themselves. And, of course, he helped the Jewish people by saying, Hashem, Hashem, Karachum, Chanun, Erech, Apayim, Vachas, Vyanas. By the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did not take us out of Mitzrayim in order to kill us here in the desert. You are a merciful God. And Moshe Rabbeinu evidenced this by constantly evoking the merciful elements, the rachum elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, some say in Chazal, that he was the Gilgal of Noach, because Noach was the one who, unfortunately, because he didn't say anything, you know, saw his entire generation collapse. And the reason being is because as Elokim is Halach Noach, he followed in the path of Elokim. Elokim is a just God. In that sense, that particular attribute of Hashem is that whatever Hashem decrees, right, as Elokim is Halach Noach, he followed in the path of whatever Hashem asked him to do. Not more and not less. However, Moshe Rabbeinu was somebody who is defined by water. And Noach was the one who saw the water, you know, the great deluge. Moshe is the one who came in Amayim Mishisiyu. He was literally raised from water. And then the pinnacle of his existence was Kriyas Yam Suf, and the undoing of Moshe Rabbeinu and his, you know, so to speak, disability in order for him to enter into Eretz Yisrael was because he hit the rock, which caused itself to sprout forth water. So from the beginning of his life, middle and end, Moshe Rabbeinu has critical moments with water. Now is the time for change. And so to close out this theme, many years ago there was a concept when the Jewish people, when the Israelis went to war, that we would daven for a particular chayal, and the girls would daven for the chayalet, and the men would daven for the chayal, and each one of us would have a name, and we would include that particular name. It was a particular yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that led this effort, and I thought at the time it was so beautiful. Because when we daven for each other, we see success. And I think it's something that should be revisited. But getting back to the idea of why Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to enter Eretz Yisrael was because now the time had come to conquer the land, and it was a time of Asiya, and there was a time of Choresh, there was a time of actually working the land, and that's not something that Moshe Rabbeinu represented. It was time for him to give over the mantle of leadership over to Yehoshua. And so that's Be'eschanan Hashem. Be'eschanan is the perfect tefillah. It's the gematria of Shira, which is praise. It's the gematria of tefillah, which is prayer. It's also the gematria of Yitzchak and Rivka, 208 and 307. Together, they make 515, which resulted in Yaakov and Esav being born. But the concept here, you know, there's many concepts to drive home. One is that when we daven for one another, we see success, as was the case by Yitzchak and Rivka. They each daven for each other. They each daven in irrespective of this chus. And the second is that there's a difference between the two leaders, Moshe Rabbeinu being from the Dar HaMedaber and Yehoshua being from the Dar of the Asiya. And there's another level to this concept that I'm trying to drive home tonight, and that is that sometimes, you know, we say that there are many reasons. Actually, there's one primary reason that theologians, you know, come back to in terms of why a person is not religious, because the person feels that their prayers are not answered. And they say, I davened, and my tefillah was not answered. You know, a person is doubting for someone who's not feeling so well, and, you know, they don't see the result. And so they lose faith, they lose hope, and they are filled with despair. We should know that that is a completely secular concept, because what this parsha teaches us is that no tefillah, and what Bamidbar spoke to us, was that no tefillah goes unanswered. It's true that at times we may not see the answer in our real time, in our own day, but we don't realize how our tefillahs can be helping somebody else. And when we daven, all those tefillahs go up. In fact, we actually can learn so much from the Mesirut Nefesh that Balak put into his tefillahs in order to harm the Jewish people, right? Because the Gemara brings down in Nazir Chav Gimel on the days, that Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Liolim Yasek Adam Batorah B'Mitzvah Afila Shalol L'Shma Shemitov Shalol L'Shma B'Lashma Shebeschus Bala Karasha Shehedi Mem Beis Kabanas Zachzav Yatzim Menugos. That Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, that person should always learn something for the sake of learning, and even if it's not for the sake of learning, it will become for the sake of learning, because in the merit of Balak, the evil Balak who brought 42 Kabanas, he merited to have Rus. And Rus was the great-grandmother of David HaMelech, and from which Mashiach comes. So we see that there is no tefillah that goes unanswered. And if someone's going to put a lot of his slavas, a lot of emotion behind that tefillah, and a lot of feeling, something positive will come from it. Even more so if a person were to cry out to Hashem, Anitzak al Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, remembers us even faster, because we're crying out to him. And so there's something special in crying, even more so than just simply the tefillah. Of course, there's the reading of the tefillah, there's an understanding of the tefillah, and then there's the crying that comes from the tefillah. You know, and that's something very powerful that we certainly should recognize and appreciate, that every one of our tefillahs in some way or another is answered. It could be helping somebody across the world. It could be helping somebody across the United States. It could be helping somebody across Europe or Central Asia or wherever our listenership may find themselves enjoying share enjoyment. But it certainly does not go unanswered. There is a powerful mechanism that because that's what we are. Hakol Kol Yaakov Vayedaymi De'esav. And what do we say? That these are the voice of Yaakov, and that's the hands of Esau. So, and what else do we say? We also say, Eile Berechav Eile Basusim, V'Anachav Hashem Hashem Naskir, that they have their horses and chariots, but what do we have? We call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should always remember that when we daven, sometimes with a little less kavana, sometimes with a little more kavana, all of those tefillos, the more powerful, the more enriched that we put into those tefillos, that's really symbolic of where they will end up and helping somebody that otherwise never would have imagined that Yeshua to come. It's all because of this way of channeling the tefillos. And that's the reason why the pasuk ends with lemar. That the pasuk could have easily just as quickly said, I die with Hashem in this place. What is the reason why it ends with the word lemar, saying? And this is a very powerful, beautiful lesson that the Kedushas Levi brings down. He says there are two forms of tefillah. There's the actual tefillah, which is what we've been talking about for the past couple of minutes. And then there's the bakasha. There is a request to say the tefillah itself. It's equivalent to going in front of the king and saying permission to speak. And the king says permission granted. Or if you're in the military, permission to speak, permission granted. So there's a concept here of being thankful and appreciative just to be able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be able to convey your shevach in the form of tefillah to Hashem. And this makes the tefillah so much sweeter, so much more beautiful, and much more refined when a person prefaces it with acceptance? Are you allowing me to present my case before the king? Can I come before the king, right, the Kisei HaKavod, and ask for all of these tefillos? May I approach the bench, Your Honor? All of these things are ways in which we say, thank you, Hashem. And even more so, this answers the question of how, when before we say Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Hashem Sevasai Tetach Ufi Agiti Lasecha. How could we say such a thing? And what does that mean? That Hashem should open up my mouth, and through my mouth, Ufi Agid Ti Lasecha, and through my mouth, it should tell over His praises. Right? But isn't that a separation or a hefsek bracha between Geula L'Tfila, between Gal Yisrael and the Shemoneh Esrei itself? We all know we're not allowed to have a separation between Geula L'Tfila, between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. And this is the machlokas in the Gemara about whether or not this is acceptable. Halacha is that it is not a hefsek bracha. By saying this phrase, Hashem Sevasai Tetach, Ufi Agitu Asecha, it is not a hefsek bracha. Why is this not a hefsek bracha? Because in order for a person to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order for a person to say the tefillos, he has to first request permission to speak. And that's what the word Leymar refers to. So with all this said and told, I want to close out with one final thought. And because it is Shabbos Nachamu, and Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, and there's a double consolation over here. Why? Because we recognize Chet Chatal Yerushalayim. We had a double chet, so to speak, or a profound chet. So since we made a declaration that we had done something incorrect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes and, you know, with appreciation says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us, Yomar Elokeichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the Nechama. And when I was reading over the Aseret HaDibros, I saw something very powerful there. With the word kabed, esavicha v'asimecha, the word kabed is the gematria 26, which means that before a parent tells you to do something that goes against Torah mitzvos, kabed, first you have to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the command that you receive from your parents is in concert, then, of course, Hashem comes first. That's kabed, yukevavke is 26, and that's the gematria of kabed. And then esavicha v'asimecha, you follow the guidance of your parents. So with that, I wanted to wish everyone a successful week, a nechama filled week. We should see the Yeshua in our time, and God willing, Mashiach Tzidkenu should come and just hey, listen. You know what they say in Eretz Yisrael, that the shualim, the foxes were roaming around the Beis HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash once stood, in Yerushalayim, like last week. Then hopefully this will usher in a time of complete Yeshua. Our salvation will come because the Nevuah has been fulfilled from Zechariah, that Mesh Hashem we will also see. If we see this happening, and that Nevuah was fulfilled, then hopefully Bizman Karov will be able to see Mashiach coming as well. Have a wonderful, successful week, and all my very best. This is Mordechai Plotzker, and Bracha V'Atzlacha.